First, a few things about David himself. First of all, you may recall that he was a shepherd. He lived in the fields, a shepherd abiding in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night, as it were. Certainly, this gospel story of St. Luke that we heard has this same echo of the story of David, the shepherd, the young shepherd, the youthful one who cared and took good care of the flock. Indeed, he was a good and faithful shepherd. He was also, as we know, a youthful warrior. He was the one who rose up and challenged Goliath, and by the grace of God was able to overcome Goliath with his sling, bringing victory to God's people and the beginning of a new phase of God's deliverance in the history of Israel. He was anointed king, David, anointed, succeeding Saul, and truly being the one who manifests the kingship of God more perfectly than Saul ever did. And hence it would be through David that the Messiah would be born, and this kingship of David would be passed on to his heirs. And then finally, David is one who we identify as having loved God, loved him so much that he left us his love story, the love poetry that we hear in the Psalms. And just as it is profoundly human to express our love for the Lord, so we see and hear in the words of David in the Psalms this relationship that he had with God, this living relationship. His prayer has become for us, the church, our prayer. So this is David. What can we learn in reading the gospel according to St. Luke? And how can we see David? And how can we see how David points to Christ? Well, in our Vespers liturgy, Vesper service this evening, we hear this story, the familiar story of the shepherds in the field. And as I mentioned earlier, the shepherd is the figure that is so powerful and popular at this time of the year, where we hear the story of the shepherds and we notice how they live, abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. You know, good shepherds are watchful. And this is actually a spiritual term in Orthodoxy, where those who keep vigil, like us, those who gather on the eve to pray and to participate in the worship, we are keeping watch at night for the Lord. The psalmist David speaks of the night watchman watching for the Lord, watching for the rising of the sun, watching for the enemy, as every good night watchman must do, keeping watch over the flock by night. You know, it's not just enough to watch, but you also have to keep an eye on the flock. Any of you who have children know what it's like to have to keep an eye on the flock. You go Christmas shopping, and if one of the flock strays away, everybody's in big trouble. This is a fearful thing, to lose sight of one that has been entrusted to us. And so it is with the good shepherd, the faithful shepherd. This is the hint that we gain in the story of the shepherds tonight, of these faithful and good shepherds who are indeed keeping watch over their flock by night. You know, if they were sleeping, they would have seen and heard nothing. But they did not sleep. Instead, they kept watch, not only with their eyes and with their ears, but with their hearts. And so this attuned them to the possibility that God himself would reveal to them something that they had no possible conception of, that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born. Because they were being faithful in what was before them, being shepherds, they were also imitating David, and in their own way praying the prayers of David, the night watchman, and in so doing, communing with God and the angels. And so this is what we see, this revelation that comes to them. Now, One of the images that we get from the shepherds is this notion of the coming together. A gathering together. A shepherd gathers the sheep. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And what does he do? He gathers the shepherds. And with them, the sheep. This, by the way, some of the fathers commented about this in terms of being an image for those of us who are in pastoral care, as priests, as deacons, as bishops, that we are called to gather the flock of Christ together and bring them to Christ. And that's what they do. It's interesting, you know, you see all the pictures of the manger scene. You see the shepherds, but you also see their sheep coming along with them, because the sheep follow the shepherd, the good shepherd. The sheep know the name of the good shepherd. They know his voice. And so when he calls out, they follow. This is an image for us of the church. We, the flock of Christ, have gathered today to gather with him. He's calling to us. Come to me. Today, this day, this glorious day, he gathers us together as his flock. Now, I've never tended sheep, but I do know a little bit about horses. And one thing I know about horses is probably true in a part like sheep, and that is that they don't always come when they're called. Some never come when they're called. It's like kids, maybe. You know? Even when they're hungry, sometimes they don't come. It's an amazing thing. But there's a tendency that horses have that sometimes when you go to gather them, they don't want to come. They want to do anything else but go where you want them to go. They dig in their heels, and that's it. Nope, not me, not today. Do you know any sheep like that? Are you ever like that as a sheep of the flock of Christ? Where the Lord calls you into his presence and you resist. You for whatever reason, and maybe no reason, you just don't want to go where he wants to lead. You don't know that there is a greener pasture, a better pasture for you that you can't find unless you follow him. Instead, maybe you've got another idea. Maybe there's a better pasture in your own mind, and you're going to bolt and go this way. And so the shepherd has to then go round up the sheep and go find the sheep, the lost sheep, who sometimes when he bolts by himself, places himself in great danger. This is, by the way, I think one of the great dangers of Christianity today. Is that we do not see ourselves as a flock. We do not see ourselves under the safety and protection of the shepherd as a flock. But instead, so often, people want to go off and do their own thing. Even calling it Christianity, seeking greener pastures. But without the voice of the master, without the voice of the church, through the shepherds that he sends, that keep us going in the right direction, going through the difficult times in life. And so it is that in order to find the Christ, we must be willing to go with the shepherds. They who have received the voice of the revelation and share it with us and with joy lead us into holiness. Perhaps another question to ask ourselves this evening. Do we know the shepherd? How well do we know him? The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is the one who has revealed himself to us and calls us into a relationship with himself this evening in his nativity. That is why he came into the world, to manifest himself to us, so that he would not be a hidden God calling out to us down on the earth, and that hopefully a few people would hear the angels and respond. No, he took flesh and became the good shepherd so as to lead us and to walk with us in the midst of the flock, to be truly the spiritual life for us, the leader, the one who takes us and leads us into the greener pastures, as we call heaven. Do we know him? Do we know his word, his words, his voice that are spoken to us? Do we listen for him? Or do our ears grow cold? Do we just follow along with the crowd of sheep who may or may not actually be following the shepherd at all? They might be following some other shepherd, or some sheepdog may be chasing them, or the wolf, clothed like a sheep. And so it's essential that we enter into the relationship with Jesus, the Lord. That's why he came and took flesh of the virgin, was so as to reveal himself to us in this way. The second aspect of the gospel I'd like to speak about just briefly is the prayer of David. Another way in which this image of David points to us today. And it is the prayer of glory. It is the prayer of worship. You know, the Psalter, David's words, are the words of worship of the church. The church sings the Psalter continuously. And if you look at the scripture readings from tonight or from the New Testament, in the New Testament, or anything that we take in our vespers, our matins, any of our services, they're psalms. This is the worship of the church. And so we imitate David. We use our voices and lift up our voices to God in praise and in prayer. So too do the shepherds show us how we too can be like David. You know why the Lord loved David so much? And how there was this deep communion with David. It says in the prophecy of Samuel, it says, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and he has appointed him ruler over all the people. One who is after his own heart. Does that describe you and me? Are we seeking the heart of God? You see, if we do, then prayer will come naturally. Because that's just the way that we commune with the heart of God. Is we just speak our minds and our hearts to God in worship. Because we realize that God is above us all. It is this glory, it is this communion with God in worship that is also revealed tonight to us. That this is what breaks through, showing to us this evening the glory of God revealed and what it means to be orthodox. For orthodoxy is orthodoxa, right worship. It is the glorious worship, the worship in truth, the worship that is revealed by the angels themselves to the shepherds. And so they behold, and the angels are singing and crying out to God. And their voices and their hearts are joined to the angels, and they're lifted up, and they're filled with joy. This is the Christian. This is the Christian upon whose ears the good news has come, and into whose heart that news has penetrated, and it leads to worship and the glory of the Lord. This is our praise then of God. And how we join David, we join these shepherds in their praise and in their worship of the Lord tonight, as we begin and enter into this great feast of God's goodness revealed to us. St. Gregory of Nazianzus, he remarks that the glorious worship of God by the angels was a sign of their peace with God. He says this. He says, never do the angels, the angelic powers, oppose his good pleasure, but they are firmly established in righteousness and in holiness. But we, wretched beings, by having set up our own lusts in opposition to the will of our Lord, put ourselves into the position of his enemies. So you see what's set up here is the spiritual battle of the heavenly hosts manifest on earth, where we will either participate with the angels in obedience and in harmony and in communion with God, or we will ally ourselves with our own passions, our lusts, our thoughts, our fantasies, whatever they are, in opposition to the will of God. Now, what is the fruit of this? St. Gregory identifies it. He says it is peace with God. And what do the angels proclaim to mankind? Peace on earth and goodwill in the will of God to men. Now, brothers and sisters, for you and for me, peace is possible. Peace is possible. Without Christ, there is no peace. Without being in unity and harmony and communion with God, we find no peace. And I would invite you to ask yourself over the last 3 days, or the last 3 weeks, or the last 3 months, have you been at peace? Have you been aligning your life with the Lord? Have you been seeking Him and seeking His direction? Have you believed that He loves you and that He has a plan in store for you? Have you opened your heart to that gift of His peace? You see, it is then to live in truth in this way that we are invited. And so as the truth that the Son of God has taken flesh and is born of Mary in Bethlehem, as that is revealed to the shepherds, and as the angels profess this and glorify God in the midst of it, so that's what we as the church do. And that's the truth into which we enter this evening. To know this truth that will set us free. It will set us free from the burdens of this life. It will bring us peace and harmony, inner harmony, with ourselves, with God, with one another. You see, there is no peace in this world. Why? Because the world does not know Christ. And the more that this enmity with Christ grows in the world, that we see there is less and less peace. There is a war of terror upon the Prince of Peace and upon his followers. And so the question is, if we ally ourselves with him, that we will truly find our peace with him, even though, as it would be for every Christian in every age, difficulties, struggles, trials. Nevertheless, the peace which passes understanding would be a sign, the angelic proclamation that is true for those who receive the Lord at this holy feast. So, just as the angels, brothers and sisters, in the vision would be there but for a while, so the same is true at this feast. The feast will come and go, but the opportunity for us is today. The shepherds would not be heard again in the scriptures. Yet we know them, and even the early church knew them. I stumbled across something very interesting. Venerable Bede, 6th century, says that in Bethlehem, about 1 mile to the east, was a church in his time. And there, entombed in that church, were the relics of the shepherds. They had not strayed far from Bethlehem. They continued to abide in the truth that they had revealed that night. They continued to be witnesses, to live in that truth, to worshiping God, and in their own way to shepherding others by their words, by their encouragement, by their proclamation, seeking out Christ as they did. For indeed, not only did they hear, but that they sought, and they found the child lying in the manger. And so it is for us today, for those of us who search for Christ, God made flesh, will we do this, and will we allow our souls to hear the call of the shepherd, the good shepherd calling us? We will know his voice. we will follow him, thereby entering into his glory and, yes, into his rest and peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.